Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in Count is called White Magnetic Dog, and it is the first day of the White Dog Wave Spell, and it is the Lunar Moon Day 23. And so I disappeared into a mad mix of insomnia and extraordinarily demanding everyday activity, and could not find any center point from which to be a quote-unquote spiritual guide. So it didn't happen. I'm sorry if I left anyone in the lurch. Perhaps you were having a mirrored experience, and we can reflect on why that might be so, that things were fast-paced, frenetic, I want to explain it as like at the heart of the matter for a year that's just begun, that when we've passed through this lunar moon, the second moon of the year, we are also finding out the kind of nexus of our lunar year, the amplification of the lunar tone in this last 23 days, finishing out on Saturday, is the microcosmic reflection of the year. So we started the year and we had the magnetic moon and we attracted our purpose for the entirety of the blue lunar storm year. And then in this lunar moon, we are discovering what within that purpose is challenging. And simultaneously, we're in a whole year where we ask the same question about our larger 13-year cycle. So this whole year, we're going to be realizing, recognizing what is challenging about the purpose that came in last year. And for a moment, I just want to throw out some ideas of the purpose that came in last year on the more cultural scale or societal. So global warming is a massive theme of the moment. On the West Coast, where I live, everything's on fire. Smoke is in the air. It happens every year. It's happening like 2,000% greater than last year, and we are not even done with fire season. So that was already in place a year ago. And I remember, you know, I can't specifically remember whether it was the fires last year here or, you know, larger events that I'm not remembering, but I do remember feeling like, oh, okay, so the White Wizard 13-year cycle is a lot about the Earth rejecting the human experience on it, which is a very White Wizard timelessness enchantment kind of theme, you know, really the epic face-off between human nature and the larger natural surround that we occupy, as if we own it when in fact we're just like tiny microscopic bottom feeders when it comes to the greater holism of our planet. So I know you know that. It's just like, so that we're at a place where that's undeniable. So that's what I would imagine started last year. And we also had a lot of movements for justice that came through at the end of the magnetic year. And so we're going to be able to see throughout this lunar year, what is our purpose, what is our challenge within the dynamics that arose in the White Magnetic Wizard year. And I don't want to get too prophetic, partly because I'm a little rusty here from some days traveling a different road in terms of what I usually do in my activities. My life experience is so much about sitting around and having creative outflow while at the same time my mind is loose and agilely tracking Mayan synchronicities and, you know, just being kind of intuitive and meditative and restful. And I'm not, I'm like a business mogul right now. I'm orchestrating a move back to where I am originally from, and I'm excited and will become more terrified, but mostly it's just super busy and stressful and unknown, and it really is making me be very humanoid instead of the astral traveler that I prefer. So I can't really get into some kind of speechifying about what it all means in terms of the magnetic year that we're disseminating now. Like, maybe that's the wrong word. We're dissecting it. We're looking into the recent history of a whole year's impulses, what we attracted as a purpose for the whole year. And now we're like doing the diagnostics, like, okay, that's cool. We are moving towards equality for people who are minorities in cultures around the world, and the end of colonialism and patriarchy, or a certain movement of it is being attacked so as to destroy it. And then the challenge will be the resistance of the existing patriarchy, and that also addresses like climate change issues. So I would say that the white wizard wave spell of 13 years is very epic, you know, like a superhero battle that we're pretty indoctrinated to experience in entertainment again. But it's David and Goliath. It's the little voice of strength and wisdom against a machine that sort of has all kinds of demonic urges. That seems to be in place. And we have, you know, an epic showdown coming up, at least in terms of the American election. Anyway, back to Mayan astrology. I mean, that's in there, but more specifically, right now, we're finishing up this lunar moon that, again, reminds us that we're paying attention through the whole year to the lunar tone of identifying the challenge within our purpose. And that's why I speak of it, because we will leave the lunar moon almost directly in the next 5 days. And then we could say, oh, well, then we're behind, the challenge is behind us. But in fact, it's all orchestrated that we have the challenge on our minds for the whole year. And so once again, just sort of in summary, because I can think really clearly back to the white lunar wizard year that was 13 years ago, because I moved in that time as well. So I know that I'm following a cycle where at 13 years, I would like very much to move. I did it also 13 years prior to that. And so there's something about the lunar tone that's about breaking away and creating separation or space, delineating, like, this works, this doesn't. And for me, it seems to have not an urgency, but just a natural evolution of the separating out that happens in the lunar tone. I'm like, well, I'm ready to leave. I'm ready to create space. I am cleaving. Because I also remember that the magnetic year, 13, 14 years ago, was fraught with sort of tragic conflict, and so was the cosmic year prior. So just listen to how that works routinely, whether it's 13-day wave spells, 13 moon wave spells, or 13 years, is that the cosmic tone is sort of like the end of the line on a whole 13 stage dynamic. And there are things that are not workable in that cosmic tone that connect to the magnetic moment following it. So when we finish a wave spell, we're being shown what is dysfunctional, not sustainable in our lives. We're getting a glimpse of it. It's a sort of like prepared surface that we're going to explore more deeply. It's a stage. So on this stage in the cosmic tone is a bunch of stuff that's in disrepair in our own lives or experiences. It could be more of a collective, but individually for sure, this isn't really working. Whoops. It's the end of a story. Something has worn out. And we then, in the magnetic tone that follows, have this kind of cool duality where we're then attracting a purpose that's going to take our attention and take us away from what isn't working. It's going to fill the space of something dying, essentially, like the new birth. And it is direction, purposefulness that supersedes what no longer is working or relevant to us. So it's just a really interesting different kind of duality where we feel an exhaustion, an apathy happening for some facet of our lives, and then we feel vigor and direction, and it can be overwhelming because the place of apathy is also like a lull, and then the magnetic tone is not at all a lull, and we always feel that shift at the end of the natural time year when we're in leading up to July 24th, the end of the natural time Mayan year, and then the beginning of July 26th, like, okay, it's really, I remember it, I won't forget, I think I learned this time the most clearly, it's really peaceful and restful and meditative and cosmic, i.e. you feel really out there, and then it shifts. You cannot stay in that place of absent-mindedness or absence of purpose. The purposefulness just takes over. And everything heats up and speeds up, and that's what we've been doing for the beginning of this year. And then it's different, but a continuum into the lunar tone. So again, there's maybe this sense of something that's played out in the cosmic tone. The magnetic tone brings us vitality and new information and new activity. And then the lunar tone is kind of weaving or recalling, you know, where that apathy, even despair, but I mean, I think more, it's more of an exhausted, neutral feeling in the cosmic tone. The lunar tone is addressing that and integrating it in a way into our new purposefulness. I would be surprised if the challenge you're identifying right now in your life is restricted to something that happened from July 26th to whatever, August 23rd. Whenever the magnetic moon is, like, I bet what's not working in your life that you're having to kind of parse out and go, well, this isn't working. This is cool. I want to do this, but this is not, I mean, it's not functional. I have to make some adaptive change. I have to take action. Perhaps I have to separate myself from something that's not sustainable. All that has to probably relate to much more of your life than the last moon. It would relate to last year. It would relate to cycles that were finishing out in the last couple of years. I hope that's traceable, because this is all sort of an encapsulation that's coming to me right in the moment and reflective of what I'm experiencing. And I feel like talking about why I'm moving to all of you is sort of the justification for what I'm doing, because I'm super upending my life. And there are people that are distressed about it. And I feel for them. I feel with them. You know, there's part of me that's like, well, I don't want to make my life really difficult. It's been a good life. I mean, I have security. I have stability. Like, this is so storm of me, the blue storm lady in the blue storm year. But what I'm aware of is that I am in gratitude for everything I have been given or have created in a location where I live, but I have been restless and, you know, I've felt a lack of connection to where I live for a couple of years. So it ends up being inevitable that I would make a great change, or I've tried incremental changes and I have to make a great change, and so it's on. Now, that relates really strongly to me, to the wave spell that we just completed, so I want to give that just a moment in everyone's consciousness, since I completely skipped out on a podcast that would have been the reference point for finishing out the Red Earth wave spell, that you get to look back at the last 13 days. I promised at the outset that at the end of 13 days, you would see that you had evolved really identifiably in some part of your life. And I promised to myself mostly that I didn't just create all this drama and change so that I could prove that point to myself and ergo you. But there is movement that happens, the evolution, the sort of streaming experience of getting from point A to point B. Point B is unknown at the beginning of the Red Earth journey that we take. I really believe that. It's not like, okay, this is the time I want to get this done. Instead, we move into the Red Earth time and something seismic takes over. You know, a rumble, a volcano, tectonic plates shift in some way. That's typical of the Earth. That's typical of what Red Earth, the wave spell, the tribe represents. So at the beginning, you may not have known that you were moving in some sort of direction. Mine might be more literal than yours. But by the end, you could see a shift has happened. And it's not like a storm shift. I mean, the blue storm thing is an extreme disruption, you know, sort of like a force of nature that's so overwhelming that there's a certain amount of destruction behind it, even if it's for, you know, cleansing, purification, and feeding water to everything, so feeding vitality. Like, the storm is destructive in order to increase life force. But it's really extreme. And Red Earth, I don't experience it that way, you know? An earthquake is a really destructive force to those who've built along the fault lines. But it's just, you know, it's just this momentary shuddering that happens. You know, it has to me, just like there's less upheaval, even if you could dissuade me in a conversation, but since I'm doing a monologue, I'm going to throw that out there, that yes, the earth is alive and things happen suddenly that shake us up. But the experience of Red Earth is much more, again, that streaming word that before it was about watching TV. It's just like when things are just have a fluidity, but we're moving through space. It's not water. It's like ourselves, matter, moving through air, moving through our fate, moving through a timeline of our own personal history. Like, it just happens in a way that's without obstacle for 13 days, so that at the end, we can really see that we did something. Again, we didn't build something. We move forward in some identifiable fate. I don't know what yours is. Now, the other thing I'm going to just share is that I also just went through my father's wave spell, because he is a Red Earth person. And maybe you're more mature or happier with your childhood than me, that it was a happier childhood. And you may not have to pay attention to when it's your parents' wave spells and watch for how their influence historically kind of rears up again for just another reiteration of your issues with them or their issues, and you are affected by them as you move through their time. I had that absolutely. And it didn't make me wish a lot of ill on my father. It was much more interestingly just like, okay, so this is happening in my head because I was trained to think this way about myself or life when I grew up in an environment with a Red Earth person. And yes, he's still doing some of those same behaviors, and we actually have direct communication where that's evident. But overall, it's more about me and his energy field. So you can use that yourself. Like, you can know your family tree. You can examine if you have a trauma history with anyone in your family. You can examine also the sort of the angels that live in your family, you know, extended or really close to you, and be able to observe then what is so like fulfilling or illustrious about moving through their time. And most of us, our parents are both. I'm not going to dispute that. I can say that having a Red Earth father makes it really possible for me to be on the road, to be a journeyer, to climb mountains, to be engaged with personal movement that looks like internal shifts, but also just external, like she went from here to there. I got that from him. And so then, you know, when we start a new wave spell, and that's why I got myself back on the microphone, is because that's behind us. My father's not interested in astrology or psychic stuff. You know, he's interested in what's tactile, what lives and exists, and maybe the space around it. Like, he's into his guru and meditating because it defines, you know, what is material, to also know that there's an immaterial level. But he's really invested in being here in the material earth plane. And so it was hard being immersed in the history that I have with him in my psyche to be really trusting that I could talk about the details of that immaterial world, like what lives in the space of spirit. And for me, that's completely filled with stories aligned with the Mayan tribes and tones. So it's good to be back and play with my loyalty, which will come up in this new wave spell. The white dog wave spell is all kinds of things, and we can kind of have a puppy love fantasy that it could mean that we're going to have a romantic time or attract a romantic partner. And because I've been there, I've been like, white dog, I'm going to fall in love for sure. And it's not impossible, even during quarantine restriction. But let's start with the certainty that in white dog, we're going to be in our hearts. We are going to be showing how we're tribal, connected to others in a pack. Our mammalian nature is warm-blooded, so our heart is just pumping and churning warmth throughout. That's what love is, when our heart just is on fire, because it's so sort of infused with vitality, with energy. When it is connected with an other's energetically, our own bloodstream is just on fire. So we can just sort of be literal and dissect the white dog moment that way. Like, we're going to be mammalian. We're not going to be cold-blooded. We're not going to be cold-hearted. We're going to be in our warmth and loving devotion. For some of us, maybe speaking as someone who's almost 52, so I act like a teenager in a ton of ways, but I think that the forced wisdom of aging is just that there is no fantasy arrival point in romantic love. It's all grounded in gift and challenge. So I am not exclusively aiming for some kind of romantic reconnoitering. I think that it's beautiful to use the kind of fantasy version of a love life to recognize that you can have that with your sense of divinity. I'll just speak to my own because I am not young. I feel really aware that it's enough to love the unseen world, to be amazed by nature as alive, so that you can fall in love with the ocean and the trees and visit the places where you feel especially in love, have your favorite connections with nature. And it fills my heart more reliably and more densely than maybe some earlier experiences with a partner or, you know, a desired person to be my partner. So I think white dog ends up being that truth, that if you're just in love with something, in love with life, in love with some facet of your life, then you're white dog. White dog is just the action in our heart of engagement, attachment, being loyal and devoted, being a devotee, and that we're going to have that strength right now, which is great, because a really active, open heart, having 13 days where that is the theme for many people, is a relief. It is a release. And we'll see, you know, what kinds of things that feel loving happen in this time. I also have to recognize historically that I have had white dog wave spells that were really, really painful because I was tending to wounds in my heart. So you could say that the white dog wave spell is a kind of indigenous indicator of attending to our hearts, being in our heart, surveying from that place. I'm going to be in my heart, and I might find there's like this old scarred dark pocket that needs light and needs healing, needs repair. So both and all things become available to us in the white dog time. The action of loving and the action of strengthening our love through, bringing attention and awareness to where we're broken. The old broken heart refrain comes resurfacing for some teaching for many of us in this time. But it could also be that your heart isn't really that broken. I'm totally using the aging card right now. It's reverse ageism, because I'm just like, wow, it's one of the first windows of time that I've felt like, yeah, I'm not trying to be cocky. It's just an observation that I've had sort of extended and extraordinary tours through feeling devastated and in pain around loving. And I don't have that going on right now. I feel not faulty in how I love. And notice I'm single, so it's a little untested with the human realm, but it's secure in, again, the devotional love that comes from those of us who are like disciples of a teaching or on a path. And I'm just describing that this is that. This is a teaching and a path. It's not like exclusive, and you don't have to follow it exclusively, but it is so supportive and sustaining to have it in your life at all that I'm completely devotional to it. So maybe we can just look into the future, since I am having a hard time tracking the past through the whirlwind of my red earth prism of constant movement. We are going to have a lunar day in the lunar moon of the lunar year tomorrow, blue lunar monkey. So really try to be awake to that. I'm talking about a Wednesday, and I presume it has a Gregorian date that looks like the 16th of September. Wow, I almost said August. Okay, so on the 16th, lunar day, lunar moon, lunar year. Don't sleep through that. Find out what is going on. It's, again, these are like keys to the kingdom. You want to understand the lunar year we're in, which is 365.4 days in total. Well, check it out. We're in the lunar moon, where we can figure out a bunch of the larger themes, because it's the lunar time in for 28 days. And then let's deepen that, hone it. You want one day, 24 hour, or your waking day, the lunar day, blue lunar monkey, in order to understand the whole year in your life and in how you perceive the collective experience. Don't sleep through Wednesday. Be awake to that. I'm not going to have a prognosis of it. Like, well, it's a blue lunar monkey day. I will just say that a lunar day then connected to a tribe is usually showing you the shadow of what the tribe is. So the shadow and light of a tribe. So a lunar day will show us like what is amazingly light filled about Blue Monkey and what is sort of dark and slightly foreboding or unknown or, demands exploration, but that's a journey into darkness about Blue Monkey. And what I recall is that Blue Monkey struggles with deceit, and it's also super playful and childlike. So there, one is, I think deceit is darker than playful, childlike behavior. Children can be deceitful. It's usually not as dark as an adult being deceitful, but we might wrestle with some of those themes tomorrow, and they might be in some way instructive or epicentric about the whole year. That's just how it works in magic. Then we're going to finish out this lunar moon by Saturday and start the electric moon on Sunday, still in the white dog wave spell. And we can't really anticipate how that change feels, but I would love it if you were aware of the lunar moon in the lunar year coming to its conclusion with its sort of like last indicators of augury. So you get to be awake to the lunar day on Wednesday, and then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, stay as awake as possible to, again, this 28-day moon in the middle of the larger year is just, it's such a gift if we're trying to understand truth through lived experience, which is probably the best way to, the bumper sticker way to describe what natural time or resonant truth my particular moniker is about. It's understanding the unseen world and magic through lived experience. Da-dum. I think what you missed in the half hour that's missing from my repertoire about this lunar moon that we've been in is just me talking about why things are hard, because they are. So don't forget the front end of the podcast where I pointed to this epic sort of human v nature. We know who's going to win that one. That's part of the White Wizard 13-year wave spell. It's going to keep haunting us that we are less than and losers in that battle. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself, and in Mayan we say, in Lakesh.